and where she's going, where God's going to take her. And man, was that worship good this morning? Okay, just a couple of you. Man, seriously, I'm just telling you, there's a couple of those songs, the last two songs. 1992. If I say it too much, then you'll know my password. I can't do that. A couple of those songs really are speaking loud to what we're in right now. I mean, they really are. We're on this pathway to discover some things about joy and to learn and understand how accessible joy is and learning how to access a joy that's internal and eternal. It's not moved by an outer emotion. And I'm just telling you, some of those songs, when you begin to get them in your mouth, it opens up your spirit to the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, there's some things when it comes to this subject of joy. We're going to talk about it today, maybe even some of the outer expressions of it. And, you know, joy, outer expressions, is expressed the same way you would do any other emotion. There's laughter, there's joy, there's excitement, there's jumping, there's shouting, there's happiness. And, you know, sometimes you have to really kind of poke somebody to notify them to maybe get that frown off of their face. But if you come to this place and you really learn how there's an internal joy that you have accessible at any point, at any time, no matter what chaos is going on in your world, you can live in a peace that, remember I said this last week that the pressure is His? You're not meant to carry some of the pressures that you're carrying. Physically, you can't do it. And we're learning an answer how to get the pressure off and get it onto the one that's supposed to carry it and to really make the biggest difference in your life and the life that you're living out there. And I know last week was very powerful for me, even in teaching, and some of the things that I kind of learned along the way, even as we were sitting here together last week. But I had the opportunity to really connect us back to what we started in at the beginning of the year, in January. And I want to take you back there. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to look at just a verse here. Chapter 1, verses 11 through 12 in the Message translation. We said that our purpose of this year was to become in Christ followers, people that are living, walking, and living this thing called in Christ and knowing what it looks like and how to respond, how to express herself, and just flat out just being a testimony for those around us. But not only that, can we do that with joy? Can we do that with a smile on our face? And, you know, there's something that I grew up with, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but now that I've learned some things, I grew up with what I would call religion, bondage. And if it's almost in a sense that if I laughed or shouted in a certain moment, it's like, oh my gosh, you're not holy if you do that. And I shared some of my stories last week about rolling on the ground and jumping and being the most conservative person when it came to what we would call from a long time ago. I don't hear it as much now. It's kind of sad. But the move of the Holy Ghost, or the move of the Spirit. And I grew up in a generation where there was a lot of outer expression of that. And maybe a little bit less of the word side of it. But at least we had something. And I'm grateful that I grew up in that, because today in the world we live in, it is one of the most difficult things to get people to move from a place of sadness and somberness, and we're just inundated through social media, inundated through the news, inundated of a doom and gloom. What are we going to do? You know, we got parties fighting against parties, race against race. We got, you know, everything you can think of, and it's interesting. The Bible tells you that's going to happen. And you can still rejoice when you see that. Anyway, here we go. Connect to Ephesians with me as we're in this series, Choose Joy. I'm Pastor Stephen. For those of you out there online, thank you for joining us. And maybe it's your first time with us here. Come on, give all those people a warm welcome. Thank them for being here. Pastor Tiffany, if you're watching or listening as you're driving down the road, hopefully you're not driving. We miss you. We wish you were here. She, with Caleb and Hannah, Caleb had one of his requests at Christmas to go see Dude Perfect and go to Hershey Park, believe it or not. And so that's where they are. They're on their way back now, but we miss them. Here we go, Ephesians chapter 1. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of an overall purpose He's working out in everything, in everyone. Everybody say, I'm in Christ. And so as we're on this pathway to discover what that looks like, and maybe what that feels like, and maybe what it sounds like, we started last week, actually the week before, Pastor Tiffany launched us into Choose Joy. Well, if you go to the back to this chapter with me today in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, we introduced it last week, and we found out that Paul introduced something to us called the fruit of the Spirit, singular. And the fruit of the Spirit had 9 characteristics that came alongside it. Sometimes it's been taught that these are all the fruit of the Spirit. And you can argue that all day long. But singular, the fruit of the Spirit has 9 characteristics that comes alongside it to support it. And here, go back with me to Galatians 5:22. Here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit, as an in Christ believer, you already have this in you. You already have this existing in you. We amplified a lot of that last week. Don't want to go back into that. But here's what they are. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It says, against such there is no law. And we honed in on that statement last week, against such there is no law. Simply saying, when you define these through that last phrase, it's saying that at any point, at any time, I can walk, talk, live any one of those characteristics. Nothing's holding me back. The only thing that keeps me from doing it is the power of choice. I can choose to allow these to govern my behaviors. I can choose them to allow me to govern my responses. And of course, we don't have time to go into all 9 of them. We're just going to go into the one, joy. So look at this one, joy. Look at that word, joy. Here's what it means. We said this to you last week. It comes from the Greek word kara, and it means at any point, at any time, no matter what my world's bringing to me, no matter if it's good, bad, or ugly, I can have these things expressed out of my life, you'll see today. Not just something that is internal and eternal that I just hold on to and you never know it's there. No, when it's there, you know it's there and people can see it. People are hearing it. People know it, that you've got a confidence in something and it produces this joy. It's called cheerfulness. I can be cheerful at any point. I can have calm delight. I can have gladness. I can calmly be happy. Now, I said we're going to stretch you, push you a little bit this week. We're going to learn together. We're going to teach together. We're going to just go a couple steps in expressing, and what does that look like? So calmly happy. So calmly right now, indulge me, just looking at me, not anybody else, calmly, 3 times, say ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. You had the choice right then to do it or not do it. No one made you do it. I invited you to do it and just asked you to do it. And it's interesting, I thank you for all of you, most of you doing it. That's what I'm talking about. It's based on something internal. It says that being exceedingly joyful, I can be exceedingly joyful no matter what chaos is in my life. And then he goes on to say that I can rejoice continuously. And here's what we found out last week, that this word, Greek word kara, is directly connected to the Greek word for rejoice and directly connected to the Greek word for charis. So if you take charis, you take rejoice, and you back up to joy, what's being said is that I have the ability, the word grace, I have the ability and the power to rejoice. The word rejoice means I revisit at any point, to rejoice out of this joy that's internal on the eternal in my heart. Now, we said that joy on its surface, the joy that we're all familiar with, this like pumping a bubble up, popping a bubble, we all know what that means. It's just a feeling. It's temporary, can leave us in an instant, and it's circumstantial. But biblical joy, remember, here's what it's defined as. It says, joy is a feeling of emotion. It's a feeling of good pleasure. But the good pleasure is not fleeting. It doesn't go away. What do I mean by good pleasure? I'm trusting in a God that's faithful, that promised that will never leave me, never forsake me, never let me down. That's why there's always pleasure, because I'm not basing this joy that I'm going to learn to tap into, even a little bit by expression today, I'm not basing it on something that's happening to me here. I'm basing it on something that's already happened. It's dependent on who Jesus is rather than on who you are and what is happening around you. Now, if you didn't write this down last week, I want you to write it down today. I said that this joy is not conservative. This joy is not for the reserved. This joy is for the resolved. And when you're resolved on something, and when you're resolved in this joy, there will be an outer expression to it. Now, sometimes here's where we got to be careful, and I want to be the balance of this for you. Sometimes we determine outer expression by the tone of decibel, okay? I got to be shouting. There is a shout, and there is a sound to shout that breaks walls. But you might have a voice that's so loud, so soft and sweet, you can never get beyond. It's not about that. It's about what the heart is saying then when it comes out. I'm confident in my expression. A great study for all of you would be, we did a series on this about 6 years ago on the subject of praise and worship. And I will tell you, no pun against any denomination or any church, but a lot of what you see in maybe in churches today defined as praise and worship is not praise and worship, it's religion, because it's not even based upon what the scripture defines it as. Praise and worship has an outer expression to it. It has a voice to it. And it's not so orchestrated beyond the place where it leaves the heart of what's being done. The reason I say that is because your trust in God will always outweigh every experience that you can, or every challenge that you can come up against. That's why it's important to grow in the knowledge of who God is. Because just like our Abrahamic father, our father Abraham, he gave glory to God. He gave more weight to God in the midst of circumstances. A study that you can do. I almost did it for us today, but I chose not to because I just want us to hear some of the expressions. But you'll see if you study Abraham and Sarah when they gave birth to Isaac, when you see that story, you'll find out that there were two different types of laugh in that story. One laugh of doubt and unbelief, and one laugh of oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me, I'm 100 years old and I'm going to have a kid. And then there's another laugh, a laugh of faith. There was an outer expression of an emotion that was experienced by something that God had said. So I told you my favorite scripture is 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Now thanks be unto God, who always causes me to triumph in Christ. My joy level will always be reveal who I am. I said to you this last week, and I want to add to that this week. My joy level will always reveal to who I am and whose I am. Remember, the pressure is His. So, here's what we want to find out. If you only knew, I said this statement, if you only knew what would happen, is happening in the Spirit, if you would take the next level of rejoicing, we would probably all rejoice more. Look at this scripture in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. King James Version, familiar to many. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Listen to this out of the Message translation. I love it. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom. Anybody know gloom and doom? Anybody met gloom and doom? Anybody have a good friend that's gloom and doom? I actually have a gloom and doom person, I want to hear gloom and doom from him because he keeps me confident in who my God is. But I think it's important to hear the other side. I really do. But you don't want that other side to become who you are. It says gloom and doom leave you bones tired. You ever been around somebody like that? That they just, my gosh, they're just the most depressing people. And you're shouting just because they went home and left you alone. Well, let's begin to move forward today. Let's go into this grace. Let's go into this place where we have grace to rejoice and grace to respond out of this joy. Something that's internal and something that's eternal. Here's what I want you to see. This outer expression of joy of something, again, this is a fruit. The characteristic that supports that fruit, one, is joy. Its outer expression is the same way you have outer expression for anything else out there with emotion. It's the same way you would laugh, the same way you would shout and be excited and have laughter and shouting. Bobby, you'll like this. The same way that I, Bobby Govan, the same way that I get all excited and uptight watching a football game with Dallas Cowboys, listen to me, don't come to my house when I'm watching a ball game if you're going to talk. If you're going to shout with me, if you're going to celebrate with me, if you're going to cry with me, if you're going to do all of that, we can have a good time together. Don't tell me what's going on in the game either. I know what's going on in the game. I probably know more about the game going on than you do. That's why I'm so emotional. But the same outer expression that you have with watching a game like that is the same way that this internal joy is expressed. It's just a little bit different. Watching the Dallas Cowboys is not a sure thing, but trusting God is. You know, I can, in a moment's notice, can be totally disappointed. But there are cheerleaders to the game. Hopefully you're not staring at the cheerleaders all day long. But why do you think they have cheerleaders? Not just to cheer them on when things are going good. They're also there cheering them on when things are going bad, trying to help them stay focused on that you can still win the game. Well, the same way you would have that outer expression in something natural like that, it's the same way you're going to do with something that's internal, something that's eternal in God. It has the similar expression to it. What's it look like? Let's find out. Go to Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3. ESV, American Standard Version. Then her mouth was filled with laughter and her tongue with shouts of joy. So now we have, there's laughter. It's interesting, if you do some study about your Father God, you'll find out that he actually laughs in heaven. It says here, then your mouth was filled with laughter and your tongue with shouts of joy. So there's laughter in this expression and there's shouts of joy. Indulge me, straight ahead, three times, give me a ha, ha, ha. One, two, three. You did that on your own. Nobody made you. You chose to do it. You didn't have to do that. It's the same way with this joy I'm talking about here. He says, then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Has he done great things for you? Absolutely. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. I want you to hear this article. It's a little bit lengthy, but listen to it. Okay? Stressful days can invite comic relief. Doctors realize that laughter can enhance physical and mental health. Now, it seems, even looking forward to laughter, that laughter can be good for you too. WebMD reports that Lee Berg, medical doctor, a University of California Irvine medical professor, and his associates have for years investigated how moods affect the immune systems and illnesses. They found laughter has a role in fighting viruses, bacteria, cancer, and heart disease. Stress can hamper your immune system. A good chuckle can help. Berg found earlier that watching a one-hour humorous video reduced stress hormone secretion and helped the immune system counter viruses and bacteria. But there's more. Berg now says the mere anticipation of laughing can help. Say, mere anticipation. He studied 10 men, measured their stress signs, and told them that in about 3 days they would see a humorous video. I'm going to show you a humorous video in just a few minutes. In each man, spirits lifted before viewing the video. 2 days before viewing, depression was down 51%, confusion 36%, anger 19%, fatigue 15%, and tension 9%. Right after viewing, depression and anger were both down 98%, fatigue 87%, confusion 75%, and tension 61%. Is our social media powerful today? Berg says anticipating humor brightens life and affects health. Listen to this. He calls this influence the biology of hope. Berg says positive anticipation of humor starts the ball rolling, in a sense, in which moods begin to change in ways that help the body fight illness. We believe this shows that even anticipation can be used to help patients recover from a wide range of disorders. Anybody up for a good laugh? Anybody know Tim Hawkins or ever watched any of Tim Hawkins' videos, a Christian comedian? If you haven't, I got a video to show you. Check this out.
First lady in the line, she walks up to me and she goes, would you put your favorite Bible verse under your name for me? Just your name and then put your favorite Bible verse under my name. Could you do that?
I'm like, okay. Sure.
Well, my favorite Bible verse is Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. That was my favorite verse. But that night, I forgot the verse. I just blanked on it. You know how sometimes, you know, like, sir, when you dress today. You know what I'm talking about? It's like your brain is, it's just not working. So I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, it's Psalm something. I got to pick something. And I said, oh, I'll just have to make up a verse here. So I did. I picked Psalm 38, verse 7. Just picked it out of thin air. Psalm 38, 7. Okay, I did it. Like an idiot, I did them all that way. Tim Hawkins, Psalm 38, 7. Hope you enjoyed the show. So I'm driving home that night. I'm like, oh, Lord, I hope that was a good verse. Oh, Lord, could you change the scripture if it's not, just for one night? But he did not hear my prayer. So I get home and I look up Psalm 38, verse 7. And to my horror, it says, lo, I have a painful disease in my loins. And I signed it 100 times and sent it out in my own little mission field. Go! Take the word! Don't forget my loin problem! Build schools and hospitals! Don't forget my loin disease! Because you know those people looked it up. You know they did. They probably made a big deal out of it. Come on here, sit down, kids, sit down. We're gonna read this verse. Turn the TV off, get over here. Here it is, Psalm 38, 7, shh. It says life first, shh. It says, lo, I have a painful disease. I shook his hand. I shook his hand.
Now, you know that's funny. Do you remember any of your problems right now? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Let's just put the word laughter does good like a medicine, and it's an expression of this internal, eternal joy. It's interesting about the subject of laughter. You don't have the same result you get from laughing about something fake is the same result you get from laughing about something that brought the emotion up. And that's really when it comes to this word faith, you understand. Think about 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. Listen to this. You never saw him, Jesus, yet you love him. This is the Message translation. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing. Because you kept on believing with laughter and singing, you'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. What are you anticipating? Are you anticipating that the victory is yours? We found out last week, we just kind of played on this a little bit emotionally and no real trying to be. Listen, if you get a report from the doctor and says you only got a couple weeks, 3 months, or 10 months to live, at least you're not going to. There needs to be some rejoicing in the middle of it. Why? Because it's that place. That's where you step into the grace. If I yield to the place of doubt and unbelief, the results of war and rumors of wars, the race against race, physical story against physical story, how am I going to make it, chaos all around me, you just don't, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I got too much going on. What am I doing? I'm stepping away, walking away from the promise of receiving, and I begin to anticipate the very thing that I'm saying becomes the result that I'll have. Faith is calling those things to be not as though they were. I'm not just all about confession. I'm confession about an internal confidence in a God that says, look, hold fast to the confession of your faith. What is your faith? My faith in eternal is that I will see mom one day. My faith in the now is that I'm free from sickness and disease and poverty and lack. My faith in the now is I have that new job that I'm expecting. My faith in the now is the fact my God calls those things that be not as though they were. I have a God that's working on my behalf and is faithful to that promise. And I'm spread. You see, when it comes to worship and when it comes to laughter and when it comes to the shout, it's actually the bridge to get you to what you're expecting. And sometimes we're just held up on the top of the bridge and never going down either way. Look at somebody and go, ha, ha, ha. Look at somebody else and go, ha, ha, ha. Philippians 4:4. No option here. No option in this choice. I want to be careful because I don't want you to feel forced. I don't want you to feel forced to be me. I don't want to be Kathy. I don't want you. You have your own specific gift and calling on your life. But we all have the same fruit within us with the characteristics that support it. And we all can choose at any point, at any time, to yield to the fruit of joy. The best time, the Bible says, did you know the Bible says to rejoice always? Philippians 4:4, I'll read it. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Rejoice means redo it. Got to keep doing it. Got to keep doing it. Did you know the Bible also says pray always? You know the Bible says thank in everything? Why do you think it says to rejoice and thank and pray? Because listen, when things aren't going right, not everything, you don't need to rejoice when everything's going right all the time. There'll be no need. That'd just be an outer emotion that's going to disappear. Why do you think I need to pray always? Because listen, not everything's going to go your way. There'll be a time when there'll be a lack of understanding. There'll be a time when I don't understand everything that's going on. And I come to this place where I have a choice to demonstrate my expectation of victory through what's coming out of my mouth and maybe some of the choices that I have in my life. Psalm 119:162. Another way that I can begin to express this. 162 says this, I rejoice at thy word as one who findeth great spoil. In other words, I want to take the word of God, and anytime I hear a promise that says that this is mine, I can have this, I want to go after that thing as if I just found $1 million. I have $1 million. It's not time to sit down and have no response. It's not conservative in the moment. It's not in that place where I just don't say anything. No, there's an exaltation that comes in this place. There's an exaltation knowing that I'm in Christ. I win. He wins. I know that the devil's defeated. Thanks be unto God. He always causes me to triumph. I found this quote from Abraham Lincoln. I like it. Most people are about as happy as they're made up their mind to be. How happy have we made up our mind to be? Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You just heard the medical side, a natural medical explanation of what laughter can do for someone. Why are we waiting to tap into it? And it's not anything further, not out of Scripture. My voice, my position, my place in this joy is expressed when there's a shout, is expressed when there's a laugh, is expressed when there's a raising of my hands, is expressed when maybe there's a jump and pip in my step. I'll give you something to laugh about. You like pastoral bloopers? I got a bunch of them. Now this is going to be really crude, but it was the biggest blooper could ever have happened. I'm ministering to this individual. Got healed of cancer, actually. I used to go visit him every single day. Actually, every other day, I think I would go see him. And I was young. I mean, I was really young. I was about 24, 25 at this point. So that was a long time ago. So when you're standing there and you're ministering to somebody, I'm in his house, as a matter of fact, you're just giving him everything you got. You ain't got no reserve. You ain't got no filter of time. They're probably falling asleep. You're just giving it all. Well, one day I was there, and as I'm ministering, actually my mom was with me this day too. She's the one that pointed it out. My zipper was down, and my shirt was sticking out of the zipper. If that don't make you laugh and embarrass, nothing will. One day I was doing a funeral. Man. And I'm sitting there and I go through the whole mess. It was, to me, the best message of a funeral I ever taught in my whole life. Until I found out that the name I said in the funeral the whole time was the name of the daughter sitting on the front row. It wasn't the person in the casket. My pastor and I were at a funeral one time. And when emotions are high, the stupidest things happen. We were at a funeral one time, and it was an Orthodox funeral, and they are definitely have their own way of doing things, and everybody's dressed in out of respect, black, and there's a lot of extra outer emotion. It's respectful to express the emotion really loud and really crazy, and the louder you go, and I don't, if you're Orthodox denomination, this is just the one I experienced, so I might not be talking about you, but we come to the gravesite. It's funny, think about it, but it's horrible. We're there, and all the wailing, all of it's going on. And my pastor's getting ready to do the service, and all of a sudden the straps broke on the casket. All the way in the ground, and you heard. It's crazy. Why don't we do more of this? When we have an internal, eternal hope that goes beyond what's happening in this world. Psalm 126, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Stand up with me. Let me just remind you guys. The pressure is supposed to be on him. The question you got to ask, have I put it on him, or am I still trying to carry it? Sometimes all you got to do is listen to conversation of people. Now, there's people in this room, if we wrote down on paper everything that you got going on in your world, we'd all be stressed and want to go to heaven now. I get that. But maybe write down all that God's done for you and begin to say that instead of all that. The more we acknowledge this, the more life I give to it. The more room I give the enemy to come steal, kill, and destroy from me. Because the Bible says, hold fast to your confession of faith. But my question is, what's your faith in? Is your faith in, I got to do this, I got to do that, you have no idea? No, don't. It's going to happen. This is what they said. Anybody ever met they? Well, you know what they said. Or am I willing to go here and anticipate with laughter and joy with a simple, maybe even start out fake, ha, ha, ha. I don't like the word fake used in Bible because I serve an absolute God. But sometimes you have to push yourself and realize the bridge between believing and receiving is the place where I'm willing to tap into something that is internal and eternal. The question you have to ask, how much do I want that? I don't think that's really a question you have to answer. I think you all know we want the result. Discipline and groaning and raising your hands, you know, it's like working out because they don't stay up long. They get tired. But people that do this a lot can stay for hours. Let me give you a secret about raising your hands. So when the pastor keeps talking and talking and telling you to do this, let me tell you a way to do it that you never get tired. Come on. Hands in the air. Where is it really powerful? Right here. Hold fast to the confession of joy in my heart. Come on, say it with me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed. So I give a shout. I give a shout of laughter. Ha, ha, ha. And put them down. I don't want to make you feel like puppets or make you feel forced. But I do want you to see the reality of this. This is how it works. It's your choice. Choose joy. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I just pray for believing that there's a purpose greater than yourself, and He loves you dearly. And you want to make Jesus your Lord for the first time, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking, just me. We want to pray with you. Most of the time, first service is a believer service. Everybody's been there, done that. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone here that when they walk out today.
I'm Pastor Stephen. This is Pastor Tiffany. We just want to thank you for joining our online worship experience today. And grateful to have you. We got some information that we want to pass on to you. Maybe you can connect up with us here real soon back on another online worship experience.
We'd love to connect with you. And if you just take a moment and download our Coastal Family Church app, you're going to find a gray card on that section. Just take a moment and submit that and fill that out. We'd love to put a free gift in your hand and also slip a letter in the mail letting you know more about Coastal Family Church and any upcoming events we have. Maybe this is your first time with us, and again, we just want to say thank you. If you call Coastal Family Church your home, we want to let you know that there's a several ways that you can give, also on our app or on our website. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. Pastor Stephen.
Hey, we'll see you soon. You guys have a great day.